Heavenly Father, may the book of the law not depart from our mouth. Teach us to meditate on it day and night, so that we may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make our way prosperous and successful. Amen. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 31. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one's might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Jesus Christ, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Maddie, for that reading. It's my special honor and with sadness to introduce Shelley and Brian to give a farewell testimony. It's sad for us, but they're moving out of Florida, so I'm not sure how sad they are. But they've been part of our life together for years now. Brian, of course, came to our church through our seminary, and so those of us who are part of the second cohort have a special bond with Brian. And then while he was doing that, he started to lead our early morning prayer meeting, and some of us have had the real blessing of being part of that and receiving the Spirit of God in that way through Brian's embodiment more than anything else. He just embodies the Spirit of God. The strength of God, the peace of God. And this is a man who's been through a lot. He grew up in a time when Native American practices, ceremonies, religious beliefs, traditions were against the law, believe it or not. Things like smudging, which we will do, was against the law until the late 1970s. And grew up in part of his childhood in a boarding school, which was designed to eliminate Native traditions, language, and ways from the child so that they could be assimilated into our white supremacist society. So with all of that, nevertheless, he clung to God and has lived his whole life seeking God, meeting God, and sharing God in his life. And our congregation has been so blessed by that. Brian lived in the what we call the Hermitage. It's that little shack behind the lake house next to our parking lot. We kind of fixed it up for him. It used to be a real estate office, you know, like when they do new construction. And they were going to tear it down. And the previous owner of the lake house said, I'll take it. So that's what happened. And then we put electricity in there and heat. And Brian was our resident monk for a while, learning, leading, living, hosting. He was also part of the Fink House household and participated in the rhythms there and the meals. Brian also, through his life together in our seminary, decided to sell his house in Cloquet. And that was also part of our Jubilee campaign and pledged to donate a significant amount of money to our renovation campaign. So the new windows we have and the roof and all that, Brian was a real concrete part of the improvement of this building as well. I love seeing the back of our sanctuary and seeing Pastor Jim Bear's tribe represented there, the Mohican Nation, and before that, Brian's nation, the Fond du Lac Reservation, and the Anishinaabe people represented there. They are our hosts. This was their land, and we came as ungracious, unwelcome guests, and now we're trying to live together in peace and harmony. And have any of us met someone with as much good humor and grace and joy and depth as Brian? He has a few faults too, but this is his farewell testimony, you know. I'll talk about that after he gets to Florida. So I'm going to ask Shelley to say a few words first, and then Brian, you can come after Shelley.
Public speaking is not my forte at all, so I just want to take a minute to say this is an absolutely beautiful church. I have loved the last 2 years that I've been able to spend meeting some of you. It's a beautiful place. Your message is amazing, and thank you so much for your grace and acceptance. Thank you.
That's it.
You're welcome in Florida anytime.
Well, she just said the last of what I was going to say, and Pastor Jin said everything else I was going to say. So I was amazed that you have so much to say at other times, but we'll let you. But I'm nuts about you, so don't worry about it. What was I going to say when I came up here? I think I showed up here 2015 or 2016. I don't know. There was a conference going on here with Mark Charles, who's running for president of the United States now, by the way. Vote Mark Charles, 2020. On Doctrine of Discovery. And I don't know if it was 15 or 16. And then I thought, well, this is an interesting place. And we had an interesting time here for those few days. And I showed up the next year for another conference, a water conference, with Ched Meyer and another lady. But anyway, we had a good time here for a couple days. But it was then that I heard about the underground seminary. And I thought that would be interesting for me, because 2016 is when I retired from teaching up in Fond du Lac Tribal and Community College up north. So it all worked out. And, you know, I came down, I got the interview, I applied and changed my mind and called again, and man, and came down again and sat in with the seminary and changed my mind. And then I know, was the absolute last day. And because they were going to go with three people, I sent an email, and I got my answer back from Laura, and she was in Norway, Sweden, one of them places over there where all you white people come from. But she said, "Yes, you can come here." So anyway, I showed up down here in my RV, and as I was left, people told me, "Brian John, when you get out there, you got to get plugged into a church." So I backed the RV in back here, and I was literally plugged in to Church of All Nations. And in August of 2016, and I stayed plugged in there until February, when I almost froze to death out there. And when I was talking about it the next day, the pastor said, "Oh no, you will not sleep out there anymore." And they had me move into the basement here. I lived there for a couple months, and that was an interesting time. We lived in interesting times then. I thought we had some people from the Bruderhof that were visiting then. Are they here now?
They are
back visiting us again. Mark and Rachel, who were here, and so I lived down there in the basement with Mark and Rachel, and somebody else was down there. But it doesn't matter. Anyway, one day I was walking and I saw this little shed up here on the side of the building by the lake house. And what was that about? And Pastor June just happened to be coming by. It's all prophetic. And I said, "What's with that building up there?" And he said, "Oh, it's just a shed. You know, I don't know. We don't know what we're going to do with it." And I said, "Well, I'll live in it." And I mean, you know, any of these have ever said anything to Pastor Jin where he's wondering, "What the hell are you talking about?" Got that look from him. He looked at me weird. But he bought into it real quick, and as he said, we got it all going, and it became the Hermitage, and I lived in there for almost a year. Somewhere in that year, I ran into Shelley, and she'd come visit every now and then, and she said, "I won't be staying here. Just so you know, it was this." This 100 square feet stuffed with everything you own just ain't going to work for me. So we decided that'd probably be a good thing for me to get up off the floor and move downtown. So we moved down by Loring Park. And in that time also we visited down to Florida a couple times where my sister lives in Fort Walton Beach. Last time we were there we said, you know, we ought to just move down here. So we did. We got a good deal on a manufactured home, and it's all ready for us, and we're going to get to go down there. Some of the, you know, the crazy things that have happened since I've been here, when I was back there plugged into the church, I come out of the RV one day, and it was just ice all over, and I stepped out, and next thing I knew, I'm sliding on my back, and my computer is over in the brush, and anyway, I managed to mess up my ankle, so Marie got me to the doctor that night, and while it wasn't broken, it was in pretty bad shape. So anyway, couldn't walk on it, and I was in the messed up shape, so I was using, there's a wheelchair out here as you come in the door, so I'm using a wheelchair, riding back and forth to the Fink house to eat on the wheelchair, and it's snowing out, and I got caught against a curb one day. And I couldn't move because the wheels kept spinning, and there I am. And so I send a message, and about 10 minutes later, John G. comes running out the door. He thinks I'm flipped over in the street out there, and a thing to push me over to the Fink house so I can eat. And then, anyway, thank God I made it back here. Another time, I'll remember this. I don't know if you guys remember it, but when we went to, what the heck was that in South Dakota? Sundance. It was a bunch of us went, and John and Sugi went, and I, you know, as I, Since I've been here, I've lost like 80 pounds right here, and I attribute it all to fine Korean cuisine, okay? I do it all. That's the only thing that changed in my diet, because I darn sure wasn't going to do any exercise. But we're down there, and Sugi and somebody else is going to be doing the cooking, and John said, well, I think we ought to have ramen noodles. And I'm thinking this is some exotic Korean meal. I'm thinking, oh, great, I'm down here in the middle of nowhere and hanging around with all these Dakotas, my natural enemies, being Ojibwe, and because we ran them out of northern Minnesota. And I'm going to have this Korean lady cook this exotic Korean meal, and we're going to have ramen noodles. And it was a bowl that we poured hot water in, and I thought, That's it. Yeah, well, that's good enough for me. The first birthday I celebrated here obviously would have been 2017. I went to pastor's house, and they do it for everybody who lives in the houses around here and everything. Well, they used to anyway. And they had my favorite meal, hot dogs, and we had a good time. There were so many other things that happened here, but I found me here, and I found what I think I can call, really I can call home. I know, I was speaking with a pastor on the phone the other day, and I said, no matter what, this will be my home. This is my home. And while we are going to Fort Walton Beach, we'll be leaving Tuesday morning early. Shelly and I are kind of gypsies, nomads, starting in, so you got February, March, April, May, in June, we go to Colorado to work with the Renaissance Festival in Colorado from June until August, and then in August we roll it all up and we head up here to Chanhassen, is that where it's at? Where the Shakopee, whatever it is, over there, wherever it is in Minnesota, for 7 or 8 weeks, so we'll be back here in this area next August, September, and part of October. And then we may go on from there to Texas, or maybe just turn around and go back to Florida again and start the whole thing back around again. So that's our life, that's the plan. But it all started here in 2015 or 16 for me, and feels good. I remember the many mornings I came here alone and walked around this sanctuary praying. I did that for about a year occasionally. People would show up. Near the end of it, there was people showing up every day. But I did plot it out. It was just over 2 miles I would walk every morning around this sanctuary, around and around. I guess that helped me lose part of that 80 pounds too, yeah. That and Korean cooking. Around and around and around praying and spending the morning here from 6:30 or 7 in the morning, every morning, Monday through Friday. And it used to be fond memories of the time spent here, watching the sun come up here and standing at the seminary or at the hermitage and watching the sun go down. Seminary time was absolutely outstanding, phenomenal. Sad to say that one of our seminary brothers, Andrew Smith, crossed over, is with his relatives now. We'll be smudging this morning, and the small bowl over here was Andrew's bowl. I gave Andrew his name, and he went and did all sorts and got collected a lot of native stuff that he I guess he kind of liked us Indian people. We grow on people, I guess. But he and his son Ben sent all of his feathers and that and a few other things to me, saying that I would know what to do with them. Of course, I know what to do with them. And so that's his smudge bowl. It's nice to have that. And Fidel was another one that was one of our class. And then John G. So we were all there. I was the old guy. Look around here. There's only a couple of you that are older than me, so I'm still kind of one of the old guys, which is great. Works for me. And people open doors for me and let me eat first, and I like that. And they don't expect a whole lot from me, and I like that too. So, because basically I'm lazy, so I just today you find yourself in the same predicament we find ourselves in today as we speak. Not enough Indians. There's only me to smudge if you only want a native doing it. So I'm christening another person here to do it for me. Jim Bear and Bob couldn't make it here today. I'm sure they're busy doing some church stuff whatever. So the pastor and I will be doing a smudging here in a little bit. And pastor's always concerned about cultural appropriation and not being guilty of it. And I'm one of the first ones to say, I don't care, just pick up the smudge bowl and do it. But without realizing, some people may be offended. And I'm just a typical one. I don't care, just go ahead and do it. But I've been that way, and yes, it's got me into trouble. But I hope everybody can just kind of accept the fact that it's the pastor today that is standing in for Jim Bear or Bob, one or the other. And going to be doing that smudging. So with that, all I can say is thank you. We're going to do our best. I don't know how we'd be here on a Sunday in the summer because we work at the Renaissance on the Sunday, but we'll certainly try to make it up here during the week for something in August and September to spend some time with this beautiful family that we are so fortunate to have and to be a part of. I will quit talking with only one, after saying one thing, that only children can make you feel guilty, right? So as I came in the church this morning, I come in and I love the little thing back there where you can bless yourself. I'm a former Catholic, so I got to do all that stuff. And sitting back there, about halfway back, was Ashley and a little friend of hers. And I said, oh, Ashley, good morning, how are you? I'm just feeling sad because it's been so long since you've been here. I said, God bless you, Ashley. Way to go. But the little kid sitting where they're saving me, I said, you know what, Ashley, I haven't been feeling good. And the little girl said next to her, said, neither have I. I haven't been feeling well either. I had pink eye and a fever. And so, I went, all right, oh, we're good. Oh, then we're all right, Ashley. You'd be a good girl now. So. Having got through that guilt, here I am, and I'm done. And I'm done speaking. Thank you all very much.